Prep Sports Now, Episode 3. Case Kiefer here alongside Ray Brewer. Where Ray, today I have never been so happy to be so clueless. I went 6-6 the first week of the picks, and I want to have a fiesta. I want to throw a party. This is great. Wild first week. A lot of games that we just didn't expect to go the way they went. I think it really made it a fun Friday night.
It did, and I guess let's start off with our apologies. We're men. We accept when we're wrong. I said Silverado was going to put the only blowout of the week on the Bonanza. I think my pick was 47-6, and you had it also lopsided in favor of the Skyhawks. Well, hello, hello, surprise, surprise, Bonanza, Case Kiefer, with a 30-29 victory, and I want to say one of the top five upsets I've seen in 15 years. Great effort by Bonanza. They were down late, rally for the victory, and in the process proved you and me wrong, which it isn't easy to do.
Yeah, right. I mean, you can say all you want that we are bad at picking, don't give respect, but we went both like over 79% last year, so we did really well. Bonanza, though, even better job. Really impressive that they were able to beat Silverado. I mean, I just didn't see this one coming, to be honest. And since we're being so open here, I remember I came into the office last Monday and you already looked at the games and you go, "This is a great week. There's only one gimme on the schedule." And I go, "What?" And you're like, "Well, Silverado's playing Bonanza."
But you agreed with me.
I agree. I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying that was really what we kind of thought of this game. And obviously, we were dead wrong.
Well, and then we have to give credit where credit is due. Bonanza, sophomore tailback, Javion Taylor. I'm great with names. He was a track star, very quick. And you had brought him up to me, and I said, "Dude, track and field does not translate into gridiron success." Well, it did on Friday night. The kid was all over the place, catching, running, 50-yard touchdown runs, other kinds of runs. And we thought Bonanza, and I don't want to turn this into the Bonanza Sports Now, after they lost Deshaun Martin, was going to have a little bit of a downfall. But what a great victory. Gives them momentum. I still think Silverado, if they play that game 10 times, in my opinion, I think Silverado's got to win 8 of the 10 times. They rush for almost 300 yards, and I think when it's all said and done, Silverado's going to be okay. They still have talent with Isaiah Thurman at running back. They're only down to like four coaches now, so they're just getting things reorganized. I think Silverado is going to be definitely okay in the long run. I still think they make the playoffs. But this is a type of defeat that could definitely be demoralizing.
Yeah, and my final thought on the Bonanza game is, look, the problem with this team for, I think, the last 2 years has been they've had a great offense, but they couldn't stop anyone. I mean, literally. And 29 points against Silverado, I guess it's not something really to celebrate, but it's pretty good. I mean, the defense, maybe they finally figured some things out over there. They said they're really switching up the schemes this year, running a lot of different stuff, have some experienced kids back there. And in kind of an open Southwest division, it's not far-fetched to see Bonanza making some noise.
Congratulations, Bonanza. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, and then, of course, a bunch of other games on the slate. You were at Bishop Gorman for a nationally televised game. I was over at Liberty for our review, Liberty, and kind of a weird game that started an hour late. Take it away. Which one of these two you want to talk about first?
Well, let's go with the Gorman game. National television, impressed. Gorman, they lose 20-17. And I know that they don't believe in moral victories over there. Nobody believes in a moral victory, but could we give them a moral victory on this? They were down 20-3. They rallied back to make things interesting. Of course, they missed the field goal attempt at the end to send it to overtime. But I think it was a great job by them to stay in the game and to show what kind of football we have in Nevada. Also, I thought it was great. They packed that facility. The students were loud from start to finish, even though they did need some encouragement every now and then to get going. More students at that game than you'll see at a UNLV game at Sam Boyd Stadium. And I thought that was impressive. Gorman, nothing to hang their heads about. They battled from start to finish with the top five team in the nation from Florida. Those guys were big, bad, and physical. And Gorman took every blow they could deliver to them, and they rallied at the end. I thought it was pretty impressive.
I didn't see a whole lot of the game, but right before I went to Liberty, I did see – this has me kind of playing what if, and I know it's not always fair, but I did see right before I went to Liberty, I think they had the ball at like the 18 or something on a 4th-and-2, and they went for it. missed it. Are you playing any what if now? If they go for the field goal there, I mean, maybe we're in overtime.
Well, the play they drew up was a perfect throw to the tight end in the end zone. I think a combination of the sun and maybe a little high in the pass, the kid didn't come up with the catch. So if he comes up with that catch, you're up 7-0 and everything's back, you know, back on board. Sure, you want the 3 points back, but you could break that whole game down from start to finish and find things that would have went differently. Gorman could have won. They couldn't get off the field on third down, especially on Armwood's first drive of the third quarter. It seemed like every time it was third down and impossible to get the first down, they got the first down. And you know, and then the offense sputtered a little bit in the first half for Gorman. But you could always say what if. You could always, you know, beat yourself up breaking the down game, the game down. But bottom line, they got beat. Great game though. I tell you, you know, Nathan Starks, the sophomore, really kind of had his coming out party on national TV. Had two big long runs, played decent defense, and you know, Gorman now walks into the easy part of its schedule, league play.
Right, so we'll get to Gorman. They have one more national game left this year, not till October, right?
Could I tell you the one thing that kind of bothered me about that game, and this is totally nitpicking, okay? Gorman, I watched high school football all weekend on ESPN, okay? They had like 7 or 8 games on, right?
Mm-hmm. Gorman, including Hoover, Hoover High, where my parents live.
Okay.
I saw.
Okay, were they at the game?
No.
Okay. Gorman, by far, running away, no question about it, the nicest facility of all the games on TV, right? The field looks great, you know, new stadium, all the bells and whistles, you know, they got the field turf. What I couldn't figure out is that why did they let the lacrosse team play in the football field in the off season? Because you could still see, like, the lacrosse lines are chalked on the field. And just maybe it's me nitpicking, but you got like this sanctuary of a football field and you've got all this land over there and all this. Could you find another area? Could you build a field for the lacrosse team? Or do you got to put them on the nationally ranked football team that just had a great advertisement for your school's field? Totally me nitpicking. You know me, I see the details guy.
I kind of disagree. Why are you attacking the lacrosse kids for? I mean, they don't deserve a nice place to play.
Well, they do, but do they want to play in a football field with chalked lines?
Well, they're not going to get a nicer place than that.
Well, couldn't we get them their own field with, like, lacrosse nets and permanent lacrosse chalk lines?
I don't exactly think that lacrosse usually gets the same attention as football.
Well, all I'm saying is that those chalk lines, to me, were a little bit of an eyesore. It's like walking into a club and seeing an absolutely beautiful girl.
It's like at the beginning of the fourth quarter and everyone holds up the fours, an eyesore to an otherwise beautiful game,
exactly.
Which I'm sure both teams probably did.
Yeah, it was a minor eyesore for me. Nothing against Gorman lacrosse, nothing against lacrosse at all. I love the sport. There's no way I could play it. But to me, totally off topic, you know, we sometimes go down crazy roads. It was an eyesore.
It was an eyesore, I guess. There you go from Ray Brewer. Let's talk about kind of the other game we wanted to get to from last week, Arborview and Liberty. We're talking a lot about how we've been wrong on sides, but how about how many points were scored in this game? Both you and I, they scored more points in the first half of this game than you and I thought they'd score in the entire game. Just kind of a wild thing there. Obviously, you weren't at the game. Were you surprised to see 47-26 Arborview?
I really was surprised. I picked Arborview to win, and I thought they had a better team because they had more people coming back, and they were definitely going to be quicker off the ball. But I didn't expect Liberty's defense to have this many holes. From what I gathered, Case, and you were there, but it was a lot of missed assignments, missed tackles. Definitely, I think, you know, they had to replace Sam Tye, who left for UCLA, and there's nobody to kind of be the leader to make that tackle on defense. All their big guys kind of got outplayed.
Yeah, and I think a thing maybe I overlooked is Liberty, I think, lost a lot more than we talk about. I think that since we always bring up Sam Tye every time, you think, oh, they just lost Sam Tye, they'll be okay. They lost a lot of kids, not just Sam Tye on that defense. They lost Spencer Hill-Hale, who I think had like a million tackles. They lost Teo Tai, Sinatuli Fakahuyo. You could just go down the list of kids they lost. I think maybe I overlooked that, thinking that Liberty was going to be fine. But I do want to say this about this game. Taking nothing away from Arborview, I think they win either way. They were clearly the best team. But what did we say on this very podcast last week? I said if Liberty messes around like they did last year for a little while, Arborview's too good to do it. And Liberty did kind of mess around in this game. They had two just awful turnovers. They gave Arborview the ball within the 5-yard line, easy touchdowns. I'm not saying Arborview would have lost. They still probably would have won. But take away those two touchdowns, and it's probably tied in the third quarter and could go either way. Maybe this will be good, a wake-up call for Liberty. You can't make those mistakes, which they've made for a year. It's finally caught up to them, I think.
And give good credit to Arborview. I mean, they came ready to play, and nobody would have complained if they didn't. Obviously, they got a problem with their bus. They get to the school at 7:10 for 7 o'clock kickoff. They don't have as much time to go through their warm-up routine. It's like mom dropping you off for a youth game, and they came out right away, jammed the ball down their throats. Christian Rodriguez had a great game, the fullback. He busted it open for him, and that just tells me that Arborview was better prepared in the summer. Arborview was more disciplined, and Arborview saw that we had them ranked fourth in town, and they wanted to make a statement that, yeah, we are the fourth best team in town. We're not coming here as a warm-up game for our showdown next week for Palo Verde. We're coming to say we could play and we're not afraid of anybody. And that's what I like about Arborview. Okay, a lot of teams, when you talk to them about Gorman, they're like, ah, well, we're going to go put our best foot forward. You know, we know we're going to lose, but it's going to be a fun game. Arborview says, we're not afraid of Gorman and we're going to play them. And you know what? They're not afraid of Palo, who they're going to play next week. I was super impressed with Arborview. I think they're a legit player from now until December. We're going to be talking about them. So get used to Donnie Gaskin and all the other boys, Christian Rodriguez, because we're going to mention them a lot, baby.
Oh, Donnie Gaskin, that kid is unbelievable. He had just one absolutely sick run to kind of ice the game. While we're making this the Arborview Love podcast, why don't I throw a couple more things in there? I hope this came across on the story I wrote. The thing that impressed me the most is Arborview just dominated the trenches. They look great up front. I didn't expect that. I brought that up to our friend Coach Barnton. I said, I didn't expect you guys to dominate up front like that. He kind of scoffed at that. He said, hey, we're physical. We're big, too. I guess just kind of their reputation. You don't realize that. I mean, they have some kids that really are great along their offensive and defensive lines.
And you saw that last year in the playoffs against Gorman where they were real quick off the ball up front, and they bring back 18 kids. So they're keeping it rolling, baby.
And here's another thing. You're the kind of person that always brings up experience, which obviously played into this game, and even chemistry, where I kind of sometimes laugh at that and say it doesn't really matter. I think it does matter for Arborview. If you're around these kids like I was Friday, it seemed like they're just a really close group. They've worked really hard together. I mean, they've kind of brought this program up from to where they want it to be. I just feel like Arborview is going to do big things, and I really think that they do have a chance to knock off Palo. I think they're a rightful underdog against Palo this week, but I think they have a chance in that game.
And you're right, still a relatively young school. Last year, you remember they started 9-0, made the playoffs for the first time in the school's 7 or 8 year history, and also won the first playoff game in the school's 7 or 8 year history. And I'll tell you this, they've kind of taken a page out of Palo's book. They're good on the lower levels. They run the same offense. They're organized. They're crisp offensively. I do worry they only threw the ball 4 times against Liberty. Granted, they didn't have to because the running game was working so well. But you got to have that balance in there with the passing game.
One of them went for a long touchdown, though. And I will say, I was talking to our photographer, Justin Bowen, before the game. And I'm like, man, why don't they pass more? This kid's got a great spiral. Their quarterback can throw it. I was watching them in the pregame, Hendry Hoffman. Maybe that's something that they whip out to try to catch Palo off guard because the kid has an arm.
And I think you pinpointed it right there. For as much as Arbor wanted to win the game against Liberty, they know they open league play Thursday against Palo, their rival. They've never beat Palo. I'm sure they probably only ran a dummied down version of their playbook because, you know, Palo, you got to bring out all the bells and whistles.
I think you do.
I agree with you. Let's talk Palo. A 33-0 victory over Canyon Springs to open the season. Fairly impressive to me. Our reporter, Eddie Houth, or Houth, however you say the kid's last name, at the game, still found some holes in the Palo Verde attack. And to be honest with you, I don't see it. I think Palo Verde is big, nasty, and physical. But it's going to set up a great game on Thursday night.
Yeah, not to throw Ed under the bus here, but our buddy Ed, who's in there typing in some stats right now, he's being a little bit more bold than me and you. He says Arborview will beat Palo. He really likes the Aggies. He says that looking at their game against Liberty and seeing Palo, he thinks Arborview is going to win.
He just wasn't impressed with Palo, even though Palo beat Canyon 33-0. And we'll talk Canyon here a little later, but I don't think this Canyon team was ready for Palo Verde. Palo Verde is a perennial power for a reason. They got a lot of senior leadership. They're big, nasty, physical, and organized, and that's why they beat Arborview every year. For as good as we just talked about Arborview, I just don't see him getting past Palo Verde.
Here's my question. Who's the best running back on the field? Is it Maxwell or is it Gaskin? That's tough.
That's tough.
That might come down to who wins.
No. I just think that Palo's defense is better than Liberty's defense.
I agree with that. I do think Palo's going to have an edge on defense, and ultimately probably why I'm leaning Palo in this game. I think they have to be a favorite, but our review does have a chance.
It's going to be a big-time football game. You hate to say it, week two of the season, it'll be the first day in September. Pretty sure the Northwest Division champ will be crowned on Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of I didn't really like that talk. I thought maybe, you know, there were some other teams that could compete, and I still think there are some other good teams in the Northwest, but after seeing Arborview week one, I got to think Palo and Arborview are by far the two best teams in this league. So I think one of the two is going undefeated this year, and we're going to see who on Thursday night.
And I think whoever loses this game on Thursday won't lose again until the playoffs. In my humble opinion.
That's probably true. I mean, that's probably true, too. They're all going to be favorites from here on out. So just to get your official decision, since this seems to be the first game we are predicting this week, you like Palo Verde. Tell me why. Tell me how. Whatever's on your mind, go for it.
Okay, first of all, I like Palo Verde in a close game. I don't think Arborview could go into the Panther Stadium and beat these guys. Okay, Palo Verde prides its home turf. They're going to be ready to play. They're going to be more physical. You know, they've got the better players, in my opinion. Both teams have good players, but I think Palo Verde has got better players. You know, they got the Garcia Williams guy. You know, up front, they've got their two great linebackers or defensive linemen. They're good in the secondary. They're good running the ball. I just think that, you know, they beat them 17-0 last year. Until Arbor could beat Palo, I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think that Arbor's going to go into Palo and beat him. Definitely a rivalry game.
Yeah, I approach this, but I think the reason why I'm leaning Palo is their defense. I think they're going to be able to slow Arborview more than Arborview is going to be able to slow Palo Verde. I mean, offensively, I'm not so sure who I side with. I think that Arborview offensively just blew me away. I think they're pretty even on that side of the ball, but defense, I think Palo has an advantage in why I think I'll ultimately pick them to win a close game.
I agree with you. We both agree. Put it on the board. Arborview is a lock because Case and I both have Palo.
And Ed has Arborview, so we'll see. Yeah. We'll see who comes out right in that one. Let's just keep going with the Northwest here. They're at the top of the schedule. We have Cheyenne and Legacy both opening their season Friday night. Who do you like in this game?
I like Legacy. They got a lot of kids, a lot of good reps last year because they were so young. I think LJ McMorris is going to be the best player on the field. And you know my theory about the best player on the field. I just think LJ is going to have a coming out party. I will tell you, Cheyenne beat Legacy last year, and it could definitely be done. Cheyenne, we know, has a lot of good athletes, especially Tyler Spite. But I think this is Legacy's game to lose, and I think Legacy gets its season started off with a W, baby.
Yeah, I don't dislike Cheyenne, but I really like Legacy. I think they have a lot of kids back that can do some good things. Some questions on the line, but as long as they can block Cheyenne, I think they should win. I'll take Legacy. Next Northwest game, I think this is a team where we kind of overlooked it in the first podcast of the year, maybe some of our preview stuff. Cimarron Memorial looks like they have a really good squad over there. They beat Basic 21-14. They have their home opener against Mojave. I got to like Cimarron Memorial here. I'm thinking, you know, I think they are a force, and they can probably sneak their way into the playoffs over there this
year.
Yeah,
Mojave's going to be improved this year, but most years they're everybody's homecoming game. Mojave, obviously, won playoff appearance since 1996, but let's give credit to Cimarron. We had them both losing last week, and they went over to Basic and just dominated. They limited Basic to under 100 yards, less than 100 yards. And they really had their way. They ran more plays. They controlled the clock. It was sloppy, but they still won. The Damari Williams kid, the transfer from Palo, had two touchdowns. He provides some stability in the running game. I love the quarterback, Jared Martinez. I've loved the kid since he was a junior. I think he's going to organize the offense well. And Cimarron, they run the ball. They control the line of scrimmage. That's their MO. And it worked against Basic. They ran double the amount of plays. There's no way they lose to Mojave.
Finally, we can get to a game that we have different scores on. We disagree on Shadow Ridge going to Faith Lutheran. Two teams that we're kind of don't really know a lot about because both teams lost a lot of kids.
I have these two teams to finish 7th and 8th in the league, the last two teams in the Northwest. I guess we'll figure out who'll be 7th and who'll be 8th today. Both teams return virtually nobody, especially at the skilled positions. I think this game is going to be, since it's the first one of the year, there's going to be a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties. The new quarterback for Faith, I've seen it at camp, the George, and I think that he throws a good ball. I just don't know who he's going to throw it to. I think since Faith is at home, they pull out a slim victory 13-9.
You think that Mojave's better than both these teams?
I do.
You think the Rattlers over both these
teams? I don't.
I'm going to take that. I think Shadow Ridge is going to be better.
You're going to regret that comment. I guarantee you you're going to. I think Shadow Ridge doesn't win a game. I'll say it.
I think Shadow Ridge beats Faith Lutheran and beats Mojave. I don't even think they have that much trouble with Faith Lutheran this week. I'll take them to win by at least double digits. At least double digits.
No way. Will you give me points on that?
I'll give you 9.5.
You're giving me Faith plus 9.5?
Faith plus
$5.
$5. $5. All right. It's deal.
Gentlemen's
deal.
High five.
All right.
Woo! I'm up $5.
Shadow Ridge, Mustangs, don't let me down.
Wendy's double cheeseburgers next Monday. Here I come, baby.
All right. We'll go on to Gorman and Desert Oasis. Speaking of games that aren't great to start the year, we talked about Palo and Arborview. Desert Oasis, probably the second best team in the Southwest, returns almost everyone. They got to go play Gorman week one. How much are they going to lose by?
Well, here's the deal. I really think Desert Oasis is that second-best team in the Southwest. And Gorman's got two games under its belt. And Desert Oasis, with a new coach who got hired in the summer, is going to have to go in there and try to play him. The last 2 years, Desert Oasis has been fairly competitive in the first quarter last year, in the first half 2 years ago. And I think if anybody's going to ever shock the world, it would be Desert Oasis. You also have to consider Gorman, rightfully so, is going to have a little bit of a letdown case. You don't go from playing two nationally ranked teams on national TV to playing a league game against a undermanned foe without having some thoughts that you're going to easily have a cakewalk. So I have no doubt that Gorman is going to be mentally ready. I feel bad for Desert Oasis because it is its first game. I think they win by 43-49-6.
Yeah, I like Gorman big too, but I gotta say, I think Desert Oasis maybe will do some good things early in the game if they come ready to play, because I don't care. There's no way Gorman is going to be as up for this game as they have their last 2 weeks. You can tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you.
I just don't think they'll be that.
It's mentally impossible to have the same level. Now, I know that they're going to be prepared the same way, but there's no way the kids are mentally going to be, you know, it's not going to have that same, you know, energetic vibe as it did the last 2 weeks.
Right. Still like Gorman big, though. Like I said, Pahrump Valley is sneaking up on Clark's infamous record of games lost. I think they're about 2 years away from tying it up. They open this year with Bonanza coming out there. Is Bonanza going to be on a high, and maybe Pahrump Valley can get off the schneid here? What do you think?
Well, I think Pahrump Valley will get off the schneid this year, just not this week. Pahrump has definitely got its best team in the last 4 years. You know, they haven't.
It's not saying much.
You're right. It's not saying much. In fact, Pahrump is tied before it's won in its last 30 games. Somehow they got a tie mixed in there. Bonanza, let's give credit where credit's due. This team is a lot better than we thought. They've got a legit player in the tailback Taylor, and, you know, they're riding high. They think they're going to have a good season. Pahrump, everybody beats up on them. They will be better. I think they'll have a better chance against a Sierra Vista, Clark, or a Western. They don't get it done this week.
You know that I'm picking Bonanza, too, but look at how nice Bonanza's schedule stacks up now that they won that Silverado game. They have Pahrump and Sierra Vista next. I mean, they're probably going to start the season 3-0. Their confidence is going to be high. Who knows what Bonanza could do this year. I got Bonanza big as well. Next Southwest game, could we be looking at an upset special here? I was not too impressed with Durango week one. They go to Spring Valley. Any chance of the Grizzlies here?
I just think the Grizzlies are super, super young, and I think Durango's got a few good play. Durango got dominated on the line. I mean, there was no other way to say that. They have two big linemen, and they still got dominated by an undersized Foothill team. The defensive line for Foothill, it was like hut, hut, hike, and the three kids were in the backfield every play. Smaller kids every play, no doubt about it. But I think Durango gets back on track. They beat Spring Valley. You know, the McQuaig kid is good. They've got two or three other good players. Marcus Williams is coming back in the fifth week. Durango's going to be okay long term, but no matter who they have running the ball, they got to get better up front, and they surely didn't look like that way against Foothill.
Yeah, they really didn't. I mean, I think McQuaig is really good too, but it seemed like he was having to either juke or run over someone in the backfield whenever he got the ball. I was also really impressed with, I don't know his first name, or maybe this is his first name, the Germain kid.
Gene Germain.
He probably had the block of the year in the first game. He just absolutely laid out a guy on a cutback block. Was impressed with him.
And he's physically well-built, and he's a good player too.
Yeah, so I'm going Durango too.
He should play offensive tackle.
I think Durango's going to get better as this year goes on. Going with Durango. Next game, Clark at Western. I know you're kind of high on the Warriors this year. You actually picked them to make the playoffs in our last podcast.
They're my fourth place team, and for them to get there, they're going to have to win this game. Teams equally matched, both fighting the numbers game, both with probably, you know, two or three above average players they'll throw out there. I think Western gets it done, making it happen.
I'm taking the Chargers. I don't really know. I'm just basing this off the last couple years. Clark has had a better team than Western. I think that continues, and Clark wins this game. Next game, you've had a little bit of a change of heart. I said I was going to call you out here. I'll be gentle, but Foothill Canyon Springs. I said Foothill would win this game last week, and you jumped all over me and said, no way. Now you're jumping that you've seen Foothill. You like the Falcons.
Well, I like the Falcons. Foothill is better than I thought, no doubt about it. Super impressed with the sophomore quarterback, Drew, can't say the last name, Docs, whatever. I'm super impressed with them. I thought that, you know, Kyle Keplinger is as good as advertised. But here's my deal with Canyon Springs. Last year, its freshman team was like the best freshman football team in the history of high school football, every state in the world. Rolled over people like they were in, you know, playing against kids in diapers. And Coach Cooper took those 13 to 15 kids, brought them, skipped the JV level right up to the varsity level. Now I'm all for a talented underclassman playing and thriving. Look what Gorman's done. Look what Paolo's done. Look at Victor and Henderson at Vegas. But a group of 13 to 15 of them, I don't know if all of them could be ready physically. That's muscular-wise. Sure, these kids are going to be quick, but are they physically ready to play? And Palo Verde out-physicaled Canyon Springs. And I just think that they're going to have a Palo Verde hangover. And that's what happens whenever you play Palo and Gorman and they physically beat you and you put up a goose egg. The next week, you realize that you're not going to win state. You realize you're not hitting anybody in the mouth. Because you realize that's what Paolo and Gorman are doing. And I just don't see that these young kids from Canyon who are talented, who are going to be good, are going to be able to do it against Foothill, a team that I think is a lot better than I thought this time last week.
Yeah, give me Foothill. They look great. And how about they were really the only team that held the Southeast together. We thought the Southeast was going to be the best this year. Well, look at week one.
Del
Liberty
Sol, baby.
Lost.
Del
Silverado
Sol.
Lost. Del Sol won but struggled in the first half, if I heard
it's a
right.
Second half team, baby.
They did win. Okay, but still, that's only two teams that won. Green Valley lost. All these teams lost. Maybe Foothill is going to make more noise than we expected.
And I was at the Foothill game. Scott Stinger, the defensive lineman, lived in the Durango backfield. Had a great game. He's a lot better player than I thought Foothill had defensively.
We'll move ahead quickly now. Not much to say about this game, except I think Moapa Valley is beating down your Chaparral Cowboys.
I am a Chaparral. Bum, bum. They got no chance, though. Toure Williams will be the best player on the field for Chaparral. Got to go against my theory because there's nobody that could throw him the ball. Tough opener for the Cowboys. Not to get into Chaparral radio, but there's no way that people from my neighborhood are going to afford to be able to drive out to Overton to cheer on the home team. So it's going to be the 25 kids on the Shap roster, eight cheerleaders, and a bag of peanuts rooting for the Cowboys. And they got no chance. I still think Moapa, despite getting shut out last week, is an elite team.
Liberty and Desert Pines. Can you make a case for Desert Pines here? I mean, obviously Liberty didn't look great in week one.
Yeah, I call this the Poly Bowl because both teams have a lot of players from Polynesian descent, a lot of Island Warrior players, a lot of good friends. Before the Poly Nation made its way to Liberty, they all played over at Desert Pines. Here's the deal. DP's actually good. They just were out of shape, and the Utah school controlled the clock, pounding it down their throats in the fourth quarter. I think they were outscored Desert Pines 26-0 by Pineview last week. Liberty, nothing special themselves defensively. I think the teams are pretty equally matched. They have some of the same dilemmas defensively. I like Liberty just because it's Liberty, and I'm giving them a lot of credit for last year.
Yeah, I think Liberty honestly, before we came in this podcast room last week, I was really close to picking our review over Liberty because I really think that it was the only possible game they were going to lose in the regular season. I'm saying it right now, even despite that performance last week, I think Liberty goes 9-1 this year in the regular season. So that's
I don't think Liberty would have beat Foothill last week.
That's debatable.
And I will tell you right now, Liberty's not beating the Del Sol Dragons.
Yeah, we'll see. October 1st.
I will double my $5 I went off you on the Bonanza. Or what game did I bet you the $5 on?
Shadow Ridge. I took Shadow Ridge.
I guarantee you my Faith Lutheran $5 that I'm going to double that the week of Del Sol.
No chance. Liberty wins the Southeast. They get back on track. That was a good wake-up call for them against Arborview. So I'll take Liberty. This is a game I'm really looking forward to. You're going to go out there, take the trek. Good luck.
Yeah.
Las Vegas at Centennial. Break down this one.
Here's what I like about Las Vegas. Obviously, they had to replace 16 to 18 starters. We knew they were going to have some guys that hadn't played before on the varsity level. But I underestimated Hassan Henderson, the quarterback, and Pharrell Victor, the running back. Those two guys are seniors, played several games in the varsity since their underclassmen years. And those guys, they're so good, they're able to carry Las Vegas while the other players get their feet wet. Pharrell Victor, 200-plus yards, 3 touchdowns. Hassan Henderson almost rushes for 100 and throws for 100 with a score, organizes the offense brilliantly. And I think by having those two elite players that they're able to get the other kids, you know, pushed along, I give Vegas the victory 23-20. I think Centennial is actually going to be real good. You know, Jacoby Owens, I think, is well-built and as good a player as anybody in this city. Wouldn't be surprised if Centennial won the game. But right now I'm putting the hoax on the Wildcats. You remember? Vegas rocks the house.
Yeah,
give me Henderson and Victor, baby.
Do you not learn from when we talked earlier in the podcast? What was a big theme for about 5 minutes, when we, you know, 10 minutes ago? A Northwest team beating up on the Northeast. We saw Palo against Canyon Springs last week. This week we're going to see Centennial just beat up Las Vegas physically. I'm taking Centennial, no doubt about it here. I like the Bulldogs team better this year.
I always agree with any argument against the Northeast. It's a junk league, but Vegas is the lone exception. They're the class of the league, baby.
All right, well, we're going to differ on that one. I think we're going to differ on this next one, too. Right back to your basic hating ways, you have Rancho beating them this week.
Listen, basic didn't do itself any favors last week against Cimarron. Quite frankly, if you just look at the box score, and you could tell they got pushed around. I think Rancho has some of the same problems DP does with numbers. They got a little tired there against Del Sol. It'll be next week, another week, and I don't think basic has somebody like Chris Marshall who could take the game over. Rancho is not as bad as you think. Give me the Rams,
yeah,
baby.
I think maybe Rancho is better than we thought. We didn't give them much credit last week. I think they could compete for as high as second in this division.
No, I don't. But let's not go that crazy.
You don't think they can beat Canyon or DP?
I think DP's got a legit chance to win the league, and I've said it from day one. If I'm wrong, crucify me, but I think I could be right for once.
All right, well, I'm not taking Rancho here. I'm taking Basic. I think that they're going to get it done, turn things around. Two schools that would like to turn things around in this next game, Sunrise Mountain at Coronado.
I heard that Sunrise Mountain looked better than they were last year. Couldn't be much worse, in all honesty. I got to give the edge to Coronado. They do have a good player in Cody Musino. The tailback, Chris Johnson, is legit as a senior. I think Coronado gets the W, but it might be one of a few this year.
Didn't you tell me you were going to take Sunrise Mountain, or am I just imagining this?
Like, I think I told you last week that I heard they were better.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to take them. This is, if I took Sunrise Mountain, I'd have to be checked into some kind of mental health clinic.
Well, I think you should be checked into a mental health clinic. We're going to come back to the other game, but I think you should be checked into a mental health clinic for picking Valley over Virgin Valley last week.
That was a bad selection.
Yeah, so Virgin Valley this week, they're taking on Sierra Vista. Any chance Sierra Vista takes down Virgin Valley, who won by like 40 last week?
Well, I mean, anything's possible. Bonanza did beat Silverado, but I don't see it happening right now. I give my pick to Virgin Valley, who rock and rolled over Valley last week.
We'll close with the last game involving a 3A team of the week. Boulder City is visiting El Dorado. I know nothing about El Dorado. I know they lost a lot of kids from last year. I know Boulder City's pretty good. Do you think El Dorado wins?
Here's what I learned last week. The difference between the 3A, which Boulder City is, and the 2A, which the Meadows is just awful. Boulder City racked up 500 yards against the Meadows. Now, I know Boulder City is going to be able to run the ball, and I know Boulder City's got a good offensive scheme, but I don't know if Boulder City is 500 yards a game that good. And it'll be a great gauge against El Dorado, a team that I know has got better athletic players, the Neapoli Cousins, for instance, than Boulder City. I think this is a great game. This is what we're going to see next year if this Division II thing passes. I like El Dog at home, 19-17.
I might be setting myself up for failure here because I probably would have taken El Dorado a week ago, but I was impressed with what Boulder City did against the Meadows, maybe too much so. I'll take Boulder City. Thanks for listening. Wraps up another week of Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next Monday.